You'd like to turn to Galatians chapter 5. I'm going to read the fruit of the Spirit again. For those of you who are visiting with us, we've been going through Galatians all year, and we've spent the last several weeks on the fruit of the Spirit. And today we're going to be talking about the next to last one, and then next week we'll talk about self-control. Let's begin actually with verse 22. And I'm going to read to the end of the chapter rather than just read one word. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let's pray. And Father, open your word up to us this morning. Help us to be receptive and ready to hear what you have to say. Help us to shut out those things that we have planned for this afternoon and just to concentrate on you and on your word. Teach us what we need to be taught. Change us where we need to be changed. And help us just to understand this fruit a little bit more. And then as I bring the message, would you hide me behind the cross that we might see Jesus and Jesus only. It's in his name I pray. Amen. Have you ever wondered what we would ever do without the internet? Specifically Google and Wikipedia. Take, for example, this message. When I already know what gentleness and meekness stands for and stood for, but as I began to work on the outline, two words kept coming to my mind, two really, really strange words. Gentle Ben. Now, some of you say, who in the world is Gentle Ben? Well, thank you for Wikipedia to kind of give more of a background. Gentle Ben was a book written by a man named Walt Morey. He was a pulp fiction writer, a farmer and a boxer. And he wrote pulp fiction. He wrote stories on the Old West. He wrote stories on adventures. And he also wrote stories on boxing. But with the onset of broadcast TV, reading went down. And so he basically quit writing. And for 10 years, his wife talked to him about writing a book. Kept telling him, you need to write a children's book. You need to write a book for children that has to do with an outside adventure. And so finally he listened to his wife. And he wrote a book called Gentle Ben. Now, it's a story of a little boy named Mark Anderson, who befriends a bear. And this bear, whom he named Ben, had been chained and abused by a drunkard. And as he befriended this bear, his parents finally decided that they would buy Ben, and they gave him the name Gentle Ben. But as the story moves on, the former owner continued to abuse and to taunt Ben until eventually Ben attacked him. And because of the attack, they exiled him out to an island where his former owner and his cronies went out to the island to hunt him down and shoot him. In the meantime, Mark's family found out about this and then protected Ben and kept him from being killed. But as time moved on, Ben actually saved the life of a man who, as the story moves on, buys and saves Mark's father's fishing business. Now, I don't know about you. Oh, by the way, the book went on to sell 3 million copies. It spawned a movie. It spawned a TV show, which some of you probably remember watching. And it also spawned some made-for-TV movies for an Animal Planet. Now, I have a serious problem here. I don't know about you, but how many of you would consider making friends with a bear? Not this boy. To me, making friends with a bear would be like making friends with a python, or an alligator, or a polar bear. It's just not going to happen in my lifetime. But anyway, this book went on to be a million seller, and even to this day, it's still kind of a favorite of a lot of young children. But the idea of gentleness kind of struck me, and that's why I kept going back to this gentle bend. How in the world do you take a bear who is known as a ferocious animal and call him gentle Ben? I don't know about you, but gentleness is not something that I crave. For example, we will pray for patience, will we not? We will pray for purity. We will pray for self-control. How many of you pray for gentleness? I didn't think so. And yet, is that not one of the fruit of the Spirit that's listed here? And that's what I want to talk about this morning, is this whole idea of what is gentleness? What does it mean that we're supposed to be gentle people? So let's first talk about the problem with gentleness. And the problem is this: it is hard to define. Because you see, gentleness is interchanged with meekness. When you read in the scripture, you will read the word meekness, and it is interchanged with it. It's used in Matthew 5, verse 5. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. It's used of Jesus in Matthew chapter 11, verse 29, and Matthew chapter 21, verse 9, where Jesus is described as meek and lowly in heart. Paul uses it in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1, talking about the meekness and gentleness of Christ. And we're going to look at that verse in a minute. But still, that doesn't tell us what meekness is. It just gives us the use of the word. And if I understand my English, you don't use a word to explain a word. The same word, you don't use the same word to explain another word. So what is meekness? First of all, there's nothing wrong with gentleness or meekness. Nothing. Our problem is that we look at gentleness as a trait not to go after. We consider meekness as weakness. A person who is meek, we say, oh, they must be a Mr. Milquetoast. They must be somebody that people can walk all over. You know, they're badgered by their wives, they're tyrannized by their bosses, their friends don't like them, they have absolutely no self-confidence, no self-assertion, and they basically are like a doormat that you can walk all over. That's a meek person. And when we think of meek, we think of sheep. But we would be wrong in thinking that. That's the whole point. We would be wrong in thinking that meekness is weakness. Because in classical Greek, the word for meekness is used to describe taking care of a horse. Now you have a horse who has all this power, so much so that we say our cars have what? Horsepower. That's power in an engine. And so we have these horses and they have so much power, but when they're out in the wild, they're doing absolutely no good to us until they are harnessed. And we use their strength for ourselves. Meekness is power under control. It is power under control. And that's why it's used of a horse who has control. Now, there's a quote that I want you to see that I think that one of the authors that I used to study said this, and I thought it was so good. He said, "Yield to God, we are able to harness the natural powers of our personality. We subject self-gratification to self-denial, self-exaltation to humility, selfishness to selflessness." In other words, what they're saying is our natural bent, our natural personality is, I want to get ahead. I want to look out for me. I am number one. Meekness is yielding all of that to God and putting it under His control, saying, all that I have, I'm yielding to you, and now all that power is under control. Instead of self-exaltation, there's humility. Instead of selfishness, there is selflessness. You see, and so meekness is a great description of that, is what I've already said. It is power under control. It is a humble, and gentle attitude that's patiently submissive. And in spite of all that's going on, there is a lack of desire for revenge and retaliation. That takes someone pretty strong. Let me give you a test. If you think it is weak to be meek, try it for a week. I just came up with that. That's pretty good. Seriously, if you think that to be meek is a weakness, try being that for 1 week. And you'll find out a total different story. But now, let me give you some proof of gentleness. And I want to take you through three proofs, three examples of gentleness in the Bible. And then we'll be done. Example number one, I'd like you to turn to Isaiah chapter 40. It's in the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 40. I don't know if I have that page number written down or not. What is it? 600? Okay. Isaiah chapter 40. Let's start with verse 10, and I'm going to read verse 10, and then I'm going to skip down to verse 25, make some comments, and then bring you to a verse that I want you to see. Verse 10 begins this way: "Behold, the Lord comes with might, and His arm rules for Him." So there's a picture of what? Strength, right? And power. Now go down to verse 25. "To whom then will you compare me, that I should be like Him, says the Lord God," or the Holy One. "Lift up your eyes on high and see who created these." And He's talking about the stars and the planets and the constellations. "He who brings out their best by number and calling them all by name, by the greatness of His might and because He's strong in power, no one is missing." Here's the key. When you read Isaiah chapter 40, you are reading one of the most profound passages of the Bible describing God. You're reading a passage that talks about His might and His power, His incomparability. And you're going to say, well, what does that have anything at all to do with meekness? I skipped a verse on purpose. Verse 11. Look at it with me, please. "He will tend His flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in His arms. He will carry them in His bosom and gently lead those that are with young." You see the contrast? You see power, you see might, you see strength, and at the same time, what do you see? God described as a shepherd carrying a lamb close to His bosom. You see the contrast? Power under control. Is there any more beautiful picture of Jesus who cares for His sheep than carrying it? The mother who carries her child close to her breast, feeding her. You see, the picture of tenderness, the picture of love, and yet this whole chapter is describing this powerful, incomparable, incomprehensible God. But in all of this, there's this God who has power under control. And one of the what you see here is God's tenderness. That God has all this power, but He's still tender. Psalm chapter 18, verse 35 says, "Your gentleness makes me great." The NIV puts it a little differently. It says, "You stoop down to make me great." And that's what gentleness, that's what meekness does. Meekness takes itself off its pedestal and stoops down and lifts other people up. That's that whole phrase that we read about self-exaltation, where it gives up itself to lift somebody else up. Example number two. I'd like you to turn with me, if you would, to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. That's page 968 in your Bible. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Just really one book back from Galatians, if you were there. I want to read verse 1, and it'll give it away as to who he's talking about here. I, Paul, myself, entreat you by the meekness and gentleness of whom? Of Christ. So, our first example is God himself. Our second example is Jesus. And Paul uses Jesus as an example of meekness. Now, hear me out on this, if you would. In Matthew chapter 11, the scripture says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." The very end of that, verse 30, he says, "Because I am humble in heart." Jesus is describing himself as humble in heart. He's describing himself as meek. Chapter 10, verse 1. I, myself, Paul, entreat you. And I like this because Paul had the right as an apostle to command these people, but instead he entreats them because, you see, he's guided by a principle, by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. Now, lest you, there are two different words that are used here. The word for meekness is the word that's used here as meekness. The word that my translation puts as gentleness is actually the word for kindness. So what he is saying here is, I entreat you by the meekness and the kindness of Christ to follow Jesus, to include me as an apostle. There's a third example. Treating others with meekness. So we've talked about God. We've talked about Jesus. What's next? How we treat other people. And I'm going to do this by asking three questions. That's it. We're not going to go searching through the scriptures. I want to ask three questions. They're probing questions. Question number one. Do people find me a safe place? When they come to you and they come to me, do they find a safe place to rest? Or do they find someone who's so uptight, so fiery, that it just turns them off? I can't go there. They get me more upset than when I got there. Am I a safe place for people to come and trust me? That's a question every one of us needs to ask. Can they come to my presence and rest? The second question, how do I present myself to other people? I'm going to go from preaching to meddling a little bit. Do you use blunt speech? Or do you speak respectfully and with sensitivity? Now, I know some people are saying, well, I like to tell it like it is. Well, we're going to talk about that in a minute because there's a problem with that, but we'll get to that. But here's some questions. Do I show consideration to all people? Am I rude? Am I crude? When people come to me, how do I present myself to others? In other words, the question is when they are with you, do they enjoy being with you or do they enjoy more leaving you? That's a good question, isn't it? And then there's the third question. This is a tough one. Do I degrade or belittle or gossip about other people? You see, when we see people hurting, we've got one of two options. We can either shoot them or we can pray for them. It is sad, but the saying is true that the church is the only army that shoots its own wounded. When we see people hurting, we need to not shoot them, we need to pray for them. We need to care for them. We don't need to add to their burden. We don't need to shoot them down. We don't need to push them harder. Because you see, hurting people hurt people. And so when we reach out to people who are hurting by our kindness and our gentleness and our meekness, We're changing things because people want to come talk to us. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 11. Both those verses tell us, clothe yourself with gentleness. Or clothe yourself with meekness. Now let me, one last thought. Some people are going to say, that's not me. You want me to watch what I say. That's not me. I tell it like it is, and if they don't like it, tough. None of you are like that, right? Okay, good. There's a problem with that, because you see, that's an attitude problem. And when a person says, I'm going to tell it like it is, and they can take it or leave it, maybe that's just not what they needed to hear. But you know what? Even when you need to tell the truth, you need to do it with what? Love. And you can tell the truth with tact. Don't give me the excuse, I was raised that way. Don't give me the excuse, it's my heritage. You see, if we use excuses like that, how in the world can God change us if we want to continue to throw up the barrier instead of saying, God, here I am. I'm submitting it to you. So the three questions are, do people find me a safe place? Do the people find you a safe place to go to? Do they know that when they come to you, they're not going to be judged and criticized and put down? Do you present yourself to others? How do you present yourself to others? Do you put them down? Do you condemn them? Are you crude and rude? And finally, do you degrade or belittle or gossip? You see, if we are going to be meek people, if we're not, and I'm not talking about meekness as weakness, I'm talking about if we're going to have people who are with power under control, it comes to the point where we say, Father, here I am, and I submit what I am to you and put it under your control, and I'll be yours. That's what it's about. I'm going to pray. The worship team's going to come up and we're going to sing a song, and then near the end of that, we'll be distributing communion and we'll be taking it together as we always do. But let's pray. And I want you to really go through those three questions, please. And ask yourself these three questions over and over. When people see me, do they see Jesus? Let's pray. And Father, I pray that you will work in our hearts. Help us not to see meekness as a weakness, but actually as power and a control. And really, all we need to do is to try and be meek, and we find out that it is difficult. But use us, Father, for you. Take these personalities that you have given each one of us. Some of us fiery, some of us laid back, some of us very gregarious, and some of us just kind of quiet and off to the side. But take every personality that you have given to us and help us to give them to you and to realize that as we give them to you, we are giving ourselves to you. We are putting our power under your control. Help us to be meek like Jesus was. Help us to be like the shepherd carrying the sheep, like the Father God was. And Lord, use us for your purpose. Help us to change, to be change agents, to have people who come seeking us because we show Jesus, because we care. That when people are hurting, we hurt with them. And Father, use us for you. and help us to realize that all we need to do is come as we are. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand.